Okay, that's ready.
Please note that the following program includes adult themes and language. You're listening to the weekly show on Discourse.
Oh yeah, I'm back.
Episode 21, Digital Campfire with Morgan and Ben.
Both of us.
We're both back.
Together at last, Ben. It's
been
so
long.
Exciting.
It's been such a long time.
It has been a long
time. Are you sure we're live?
I am pretty sure. I guess if we watch the chat room, we will find out momentarily. Echo. Echo. We're definitely live. Live to a very small cohort.
Yeah.
I guess our closest friends.
People you'd like to have around a campfire, really.
I would really like to have them around the campfire. Yeah. This idea of the digital campfire, this is, well, you really named this show. I didn't want to go immediately back to the mad goofiness.
No, I listened to the last show. It was freaky. I listened to your fantastic episode 20 with, oh, God, it was so good. In Seattle, you know, in cold Seattle, all by myself in a hotel room.
Oh.
And I was just about in tears as well. Yeah. It was an amazing show, man. It was great.
I'm extremely proud of it. Mm. And I think it was emphasized by the fact that I'm reliably informed that episode 19 was the worst episode.
It's coming off a low.
Ever. we should probably tell people. Everyone in the Ustream room, we're actually doing audio only this time because the video is really distracting for me. If you understood how many windows and screens and so on I'm having to watch and pay attention to, you'd cut me some slack on that.
Yes, audio only, digital campfire. I just thought as well, after listening to that podcast and just the shit that's been going on at the moment, the stuff that's been going on, it's been horrible. I wanted to say, is everyone all right?
Well, I'm feeling all right now. I didn't go through any of the trauma, any of the trouble or perils, but it was just, I felt like the beginning of the year was really just a lot of work.
It started with a roar, you mean?
Started with a roar, but then, I mean, it's felt so busy.
Yeah.
Someone wants to see us just once, but that would require enabling this camera.
You haven't even plugged a camera. No. Don't do it. You'll crash it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna do it.
I was driving here. You're right next door to you is the High Court, the Auckland High Court.
Yep.
And that's a big old brick building.
Yes, it is. And this building was built in the 20s as well.
Yeah, just looking at the buildings and thinking, what would it be? How would I cope? Or what would it be like if you're driving around and those things were half fallen down?
Driving around?
Yeah.
This would be a closed area, right?
Jesus. I feel, yes. So, yes.
It's quite terrifying. is that kind of earthquake possible? Is anyone in the chat room? Oh, we should probably also say, before we get cracking, this is really a call-in show, and I want to hear from people.
Yeah.
I want to hear from you. I think that we might actually have Dave Dustin here already.
Really?
Are you there, Dave?
Yes, I am.
Wow, check that out. How smooth is that?
So you answered the call during the intro and he stayed quiet.
Yep.
Wow.
Actually, he was muted, which was probably quite confusing. Now, I need to somehow make sure that when this thing rings, how can I make it ring like nowhere?
I don't know.
I really don't want this to ring every time we get a call because we're going to have people in the chat room or people not in the chat room. We would like to hear from you, whether you have, you know, something insightful to say or whether you just want us to move on from whatever subject we've already beaten to death.
Yeah, so if you've got a headset and Skype, you can add Morgan Nickel, all one word, on Skype and just call them and you'll be live.
Okay, brilliant. So Java just tried to update and I think it's killed Ustream producer.
Oh, are we still live?
We are not live. It's gone down. I'm bringing producer back up right now. So Java. Java decides it wants to update. And what happens?
Ustream crashes?
Yeah. Brilliant.
Don't be hating on your Java
producer.
Mark, Derek, you could call in and explain Java to us.
Yeah, Mark, I blame you. It's your fault. Hey, we've got another call. I'm just gonna let him in. So Dave Parry.
Oh, hey, how you doing, Morgan?
Maybe I should confirm with people if they want their whole name read
just
out.
Just shout it out, eh? Yeah, hey. This is me. I run the Olympics committee and the Black Caps.
All right.
And I also live in Hatayatai and write horrible right-wing letters to the editor about climate change.
Welcome.
There are a few Dave Currys in the world.
We've got two Daves on now, so this is definitely not confusing. Anyone else in the chat room who's called Dave, who are we using to screen our calls?
We're not
at all. Oh, did you just tell them my Skype name?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Okay. If your name's Dave, call in now.
All Daves.
All Dave, all day. 24 hours of Dave. We've got so much Dave, it'll melt your face off.
Sorry. I think it's Vin Zan. It's telling him to call back.
Who? What?
I'm here.
Yeah. Oh, you are?
Yeah, Dave's there.
So Dave's there. Two Daves. So
Dave, Dave's there as well.
You asked me how Boeing was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely amazing. So I've been in Seattle for a week previously. Seattle, Redmond, Everett, Bellevue. And, yeah, I was excited to go up there because there's all sorts of flight history up there. That's where Boeing was started and it's where they make their big planes. But the Boeing factory tour is, if you ever get anywhere near it, do it. Yeah, they make them.
I know that they make 747s, but, I mean, how many 747s can you look at in your life? I mean, I've seen a 747.
Mm, they make the new 787s that no one's seen yet.
And what's different about that? It's got more metal numbers on it.
It's scale, right? So you go and you catch a plane. You go to the airport and you catch a plane. You see a 747 parked outside and it's really, really, really big.
Yep.
You go to the factory. The factory building is in the distance, so you get a bit of a spiel and they drive you over there in a bus.
Yep.
And the factory has six doors on it and each door is the size of a football field.
Yep.
And there's six doors down the length of it.
Right.
And so then you go inside.
That's pretty big.
It's huge. I think it's the biggest single-span building in the world.
Yeah.
And so you go inside and you stand up on a sort of third floor platform and look down at two production lines. And so on a production line there were two 747s parked side by side and then three more being built. And that's one production line out of six.
Far out.
Yeah.
And one room.
Yeah, and there's six production lines are in one room.
Man.
So they do have scaffolding and stuff between them, but if you look above the scaffolding, you can see all the way down. It's very, very hard to comprehend in your head how big it is. Yeah.
Were you tempted to take one of those shitty photos? What do they call it? Like the miniaturized filter that tilt shift?
You're not allowed to take any electronic devices in. Oh. It sucks.
Just like a real plane.
Bastards. Yeah, like it's going to take down the plane. It's just a detonator. How else am I going to take this fucking thing out of the sky? God damn you all. This was meant to not be insane. I'm sorry. I haven't had anything to drink. I had a Monster a couple of hours ago. So the effects should be starting to wear off.
I had a V iced coffee this morning.
V iced coffee. Okay. What?
It's generic cheap iced coffee. With V's guarana extract mixed into it.
That sounds revolting.
That does sound disgusting.
There's no taste of V at all. It just tastes like iced coffee.
Okay, right. So it doesn't taste like chewy green bubblegum pulled off the sole of your shoe when you've been walking through a vinegar factory like V normally tastes like.
Hey, V's lovely. It's not as nice
lemon
as Monster.
Lemon
V is
the way to go.
Lemon V, I'll give you that.
All right, now who are we going to talk to about something? I don't know what it is.
Who is Dave Curry?
Dave Curry.
I'm kind of a podcast myself, so I thought maybe we should meet.
Yes. Oh, yes. What's that podcast?
Podcast is theagonomist.co.nz, I do with my mate Dan here in Wellington.
I thought you sounded overly professional. It's just not on.
really aren't.
Yeah, we don't like that kind of thing around here.
Why have I got beer written down in my show notes?
I don't know.
Beer in Seattle.
You
were saying something about beer?
Was I? I don't know.
Oh, sorry, I'm just jumping ahead. You have a story. I was listening to National Radio on the way home, and there was a guy from the hospitality industry saying that the problem with drinking culture in New Zealand is cheap beer in supermarkets.
Yeah, but the thing is that he's not just, you know, from this body called the Hospitality Association. Yeah. He runs a bar. Who else has more self-interest in, you know, stopping supermarkets from selling hooch than a person who also sells hooch in direct competition with supermarkets?
At 10 times the price.
Possibly. Maybe not 10 times, but certainly a multiple.
Yeah, yeah.
You're paying for the ambiance.
Well, it'd better be a bloody nice bar then.
Yeah.
I mean, there's this point then simply that beer should be more expensive because it's too accessible.
No, I don't like the sound of that.
But my segue was that in Seattle, they actually have good beer. I was quite surprised because Americans sort of reasonably synonymous with bad beer.
Yeah.
Is it? Bud Light and Miller
Lite. No, they've got more. Well, that's true. For a long time, that was true. And still, of course, you know, the majority of their industry is, you know, that really low quality, very light lager.
Yes.
There's that. The Oregon microbrewery revolution that's sort of going off.
Yeah, well, it's not just Oregon. They have more craft breweries now than really anyone else in the world.
Yeah, they have the IPAs and Luke, Epic Beer Luke, imports his Cascade hops from the state. So they have good hops and this sort of stuff. Yeah. But we went to one place.
They reinvented the IPA. It's now really, there's a new style of beer, the American style IPA, which is this incredibly really hoppy. Yeah. I mean, if you try a Tui, that allegedly, you know, was once upon a time an IPA, right?
Yeah.
Compare and contrast with one of the American style ones.
The thing that's very cool about craft beer in the States is it's actually craft beer at scale. So there was a bar I went to in Bellevue called Tap House, and they had 140 taps.
Jesus!
So each of those taps was backed by a reasonably fresh cask.
Yeah.
So the scale of the breweries is that they can produce enough. And it was fantastic because, you know, they had a menu that was almost like a wine list. They had sort of 10 or 15 IPAs. They had, you know, 5 or 6 pale ales, a bunch of wheat beers. It was great. I went there 3 nights in a row and tried to get a lot of it.
God, I love the sound of that. We need... Oh, Italios doesn't want to talk about beer, apparently. Okay, then.
Why not? Come on.
I don't know why not. What do you mean dropping out? We've made it audio only, so it'd be all right. The chat room, beloved podcast listeners, apparently is still dropping out for people, even though we've dropped video entirely this time and are doing audio only. We've got people saying it's good.
Do you guys remember live streaming back in the 90s?
And I invented live streaming.
Exactly the same as it is now.
Maybe it's exaggerating to say I invented live streaming, but I was a fucking pioneer for live streaming in New Zealand. I did the first live stream from music events and so on.
Oh, nice.
Yep, that was me. That was my ass. And the first one actually was using...
It's like New Zealand's Al Gore.
Well, I mean, I didn't invent the real media encoder boxes or anything, but I did, you know, arrange to take them to venues and play music. And you can find evidence of this if you trawl through something that the old school guys will remember as being kind of one of the first social networks, which is news groups. And you'll see me talking about stuff on there, like I can't even remember what the events were called. It was up at, what was that place on Simon Street? At Luna. I can't remember anyone's name who was involved, but it was really good fun, except some asshole spilled his beer into the computer. It didn't kill it, but God, it was quite close.
Made it sticky.
Yeah, it was one of the other, it was like a lighting guy or something. I think it's revealing that he didn't pour his beer into his stuff. Asshole.
Exactly.
Oh my God, we've got... Lou, I really want you to call in because I want people to hear about that wonderful classic story of romance.
Yeah, she probably has to install Skype.
Now, podcast listeners, you will have... I'm sure she's got it. She's got family all over the world. Podcast listeners, every now and then, I'm probably going to talk to people who you can't actually hear, and I'm talking to the chat room. If you wanted to understand exactly what was going on in the chat room, you should have been here, really, shouldn't you? You should have... Oh, she's not into it. No.
Okay.
No. It'll make you taller, Lou, I've heard.
So we have...
I know how you want that.
Just to confirm that people have just tuned in, we have Dave and Dave on Skype.
We've got Dave Dustin and we've got Dave Curry. And we've got them on just because we want to talk to as many people as we can, actually. So can we get another caller? We've got room for another one. Come on now. We need another caller.
So, Dave Curry, are you from Wellington Way?
Yep, that's me.
So, what the hell is up with John Key?
Yeah, he lives down the road from me, actually. And I'm pretty certain that he flat out stole from me when I moved in as well, because I live up a couple of steps, as everyone in Wellington does. And doing loads of furniture moving in, I left the sweet old 70s side table down on Tinagori Road.
And John Key stole it.
Fuck yes. And if it wasn't him, it happened on his watch. So he bears some responsibility. Been absolutely silent on the issue. And really, I'm not sure how we can move forward with anything else in the news until that issue has been resolved. Because this is a pretty all right table.
I think he's... fast and loose is, I think, my new term for John Key.
He's very relaxed about everything.
He's relaxed about
facts. He's got his feet up on a sweet table.
he's relaxed about the fact that you know, maybe, what did he say? Some areas of Christchurch may be uninhabitable and 10,000 homes will need to be demolished.
Over 9,000 homes in Christchurch.
Over 9,000? Good Lord, that's a lot of power.
And then what did he say?
Oh. And then he said, I didn't really have any real advice on it.
That's right, yeah.
It's kind of understandable that Civil Defence is jumping up and down saying, what the fuck are you talking about, you idiot, because I'm not that great a Prime Minister.
Yeah, there's retweeting stuff on that you hear on Twitter, right?
Yeah.
And then there's being the Prime Minister and saying stuff in your news media.
Anyone in the chat room who wants to take the National / John Key side, please call in now. Add me on Skype. I will. I'll post the Skype name.
Is that Tumbleweeds?
Might be Tumbleweeds, but who cares?
Yeah,
sorry,
like,
carry on, gents. Yeah.
But you want me to keep going about John Key?
Oh, no, you're absolutely welcome to keep talking about Key, but it would be nice if we could get a little bit of, you know, what they call balance, because it sounds like all four of us agree that Key is, you know, a bit of a tard. What's the insight there?
Dave, I haven't heard from Dave Dustin. He might like him.
No, no way.
Huh?
Not with a beard like that. He has a gentleman's beard, and no gentleman could be, you know, in with the tard crowd.
Try to avoid politics as much as I possibly can.
I try to avoid herpes as much as I possibly can, but look what it got me. Herpes everywhere. Uh-huh. Someone just took a photo.
Sorry, I should really mute this.
Yeah, we're definitely not getting any callers about John Key. Why have we not got anyone else jumping on the show? I'm gonna...
Ouch. Sorry, chat room. Dave's on the shore, right? He must be a New Zealand First supporter. Zing.
That's cold right there.
Yeah. You know who else has got herpes?
Who's that?
Probably Charlie Sheen.
Probably. Oh, we've got a new thing. I'm going to add you. Wait, don't say anything until I add you to the group. All right, now we've got a mark, just to spoil things.
Welcome to A League of Likemen. You're listening to the real podcast.
Oh, no, we've got a three-way podcast battle. Does anyone else in the audience run a podcast?
Or just a three-way podcast? Because I'm recording this, I'm going to try to put it out before you guys do and claim that you were my guests. I mean, that's the idea.
Well, that'll be easy because this is going to go out on Thursday morning at 5:45 a.m., just like always. It never goes out earlier than that and never goes out later.
Scooped.
Scooped, easy. So what's the name of this podcast that I'm joining you on? What's the questions? Are you going to ask us how to make a podcast as good as ours? It's not possible for you.
Actually, I asked you a technical question and you totally blanked me on Twitter.
Well, that's because he's a cold fusion guy. He's only a web monkey.
Oh, bro.
That's harsh.
He's not a real developer.
So, Mark, tell me why a Java update should stomp all over another program that's running at the same time.
What's the bet that it's actually Java? This
Ustream
producer thing.
Java sucks on the desktop.
But you're a Java programmer, aren't you?
Yeah, but Java Enterprise is good. Java desktop, crap.
Java
says the .NET man.
Wait. Okay, so you're not a Java guy because, I mean, we can only have one Java guy on at a time.
Yeah.
You can only find one Java guy.
Oh, I need a disconnection coin to toss because I think we've just reached our capacity of callers. I'm pretty sure we can only have three at once.
Hey, Ben.
I've got something very exciting. I've got good news. I've got good news. All right, finish it up.
So someone just asked when, because I'm hassling Java, when the Windows Phone 7 brick all those phones.
Yeah.
A few weeks back, I think.
Yeah.
It bricked something like 10% of all Samsung Focuses in Europe.
So what, about 100?
Yeah.
Wow, that many. That's quite a market share they've got.
I don't know if it bricked them. It certainly the update didn't work.
So when do you want to start recording this?
We are recording, surely.
Oh, we probably should be. Oh,
so hang on. What was your top news? You were just getting
my exciting news is that we have, for the very first time on a live show. I don't even know if that's true. I don't know if. Oh, you can't watch it. You can't watch it from where you are. I'm inexpertly padding for time, in the hopes that a certain person will appear on the Skype. But
I'm hoping that Sam calls in too. Is that right? No,
that's not who it is. Oh. Wow, so it turns out we can have four apparently. Or has this dropped someone?
So
Oh, so look
do we
that.
Still have a David
Mark,
Preston
Mark,
on the line?
Mark, be
yes,
quiet.
Yes, we do.
You guys all shut up or I'm going to disconnect you. It's Louise VR from the chat room.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show. But most beloved friend of the show, probably. I think that she might be a cat.
A cat.
Judging by her avatar, I think she's a cat. Have you got your headphones in yet?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yay, there you are. Okay, so now this is very exciting news. I mentioned news groups earlier because that's where, you know, I did a whole lot of stuff on news groups way back in the day. News groups and IRC, kind of the first social networks on the internet. It was where the cool kids hung out. And by cool kids, I mean, you know, nerds, dweebs, dorks, dicks, and trolls. I mean, it was like the original bridge to live under if you were a troll, I think, the news groups. But you met your husband in news groups, Louise.
I'd have to say indirectly, really, because I met his friend on news in a news group, and then I met him through a friend.
You met his friend in the news groups, and then you met him, but then you carried on the romance in a mud.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it was a romance at that point. I mean, I don't know how romantic a mud can be.
For the younger listeners in the chat room, Morgan, can you explain what a mud is?
A mud is a multi-user dungeon or multi-user dimension. It's like a text adventure game, but it's a multi-user text adventure game. And, you know, you get the kind of the text descriptions of the room you're in. And, you know, sometimes there are people in the room you're in and you can talk to them and you can wander around and chat. And, you know, some of them would be dedicated to some particular genre.
So like a text adventure, there's a door to the north and a door to the west, but there are also thing. And also in this room is Louise VR.
Yeah, that's the idea.
That's pretty much it. But we used it because there wasn't really a suitable chat client at the time.
Right.
This is back in 96.
Yeah. I think in 96 I was using ICQ and, yes, oh, PowWow. Do you remember PowWow? PowWow.
Oh, that's going back a bit.
Yeah, that was a chat program. And actually, I seem to recall there was a program called iPhone, which was now what's it called? Oh, God.
Oh, you want See You See Me.
See You See Me. Oh, that might be one of them. But there was, it doesn't matter. It's 96, not important. It's, you know, the old computer stuff, which was important then and now everything is that way. And so the term has fallen from the end of my brain.
I think I might have still been dialing BBSs in 96.
I was running a BBS back then.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I don't think I was, you know, really computer savvy enough to get into any of that sort of stuff.
I love
and
BBS
I was only
so
introduced
much.
To the mud through Carl.
Right.
Right.
I'll still IRC-ing then.
We've got another caller. Let's see how many we can fit. Tom, how are you doing? Oh, can I call? I see I didn't use your surname. Would you prefer me to call you Tom or would you prefer me to call you Parsley?
Oh, I'm easy either way.
Oh, your audio is so good.
Wow, that's
right.
That's
let's talk to this guy for a while because that audio is great.
I bet he's using a PC.
Are you using a Linux machine, Tom?
No, it's Windows.
It's very, very clean, your audio, Tom.
I probably should have told the other guys that they were all going to go on hold.
Oh, whoops. I think if I'm right, Tom's been in Southeast Asia recently.
Yeah, I got back on Saturday morning. In fact, you have to excuse me. I've got a bit of a sore throat. I picked up a cold over there. So.
Oh, God, it makes you sound husky.
So how's
if only I was a young lady, I'd be all up on it.
Is China revolting yet?
Some of the things they eat are.
But isn't that meant to happen?
It was actually quite surreal because I was the first week I was out there, I was in South Shanghai, and I kept seeing these comments on Twitter about because I follow a couple of Chinese blogs and Twitter people, and people saying, oh, there's been a big demonstration in Shanghai and the police are out in force and all this kind of thing. And you just kind of look out the window going, where's this?
Yeah.
Can't see it here.
Strange.
I think I tweeted last week that I was wondering if, you know, if there was a revolution in China, I just wouldn't notice because I wouldn't hear it. You wouldn't hear about it on the news there, obviously.
No. Freaky.
So being English... I'm guessing this based on your accent. Excuse me for my racist stereotyping.
No.
You probably know what kind of beer you like.
Sorry, say that again.
I think he was asking what beer are you like? Beer.
And you know, I'm just trying to keep some consistent thread running through the show.
Right. Yeah.
My favorite beer, naturally, is like all other men. It's a big, fat, hairy guy wearing mainly leather. Everyone's favorite beer pretty much looks the same.
I actually, my favorite beer changed quite a bit. I spent 3 years living in Germany, in Bavaria.
Yeah.
And I got very used to the extremely pure German beer. They have these very strict brewing
laws. Purity laws.
Basically, only put
really?
Water, yeah. Yeast, hops, and barley or something in
Does
the beer and nothing else. So I actually found, and I kind of traveled around the world and I ended up in Australia for a while and I could not drink the beer there because it was so chemical. Jeez. After drinking pure German beer for so long.
Wow.
It was just foul.
Mm. So Morgan, what's the story? Sorry. I'm just going to ask Morgan, what's the story with Skype? How many people can we have on there?
I think that we can, well, let's see if I can add him into this group. All right. Well, we've got four. I think four must be the maximum unless... Yeah, it looks like four is the maximum.
Right.
So, gents, you can hear again if you're still there.
Yeah, but I'm going to have to bow out, Morgan and Ben, because I live over the road from a pub. So,
fair enough.
And this talk about beer is reasonably, you know, thirsty making.
I live in an apartment with a fridge full of beer, so you know.
Dave, thank you for your time. We appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us. Our podcast is heaps better than yours.
And if we see that...
I hung up on him, sorry. Oh. No, I had to get the last word.
So classy.
I am classy. Now, could you guys... Now, just for my own information, could you guys hear me talking then? Or was it just dead air for you?
No. On hold, we were dead.
Okay. All right. So we're speaking to Tom, who is an Englishman who's been in China and has a sore throat.
Germany.
And via Germany, he learned that delicious beer is delicious. And then he went to Australia and discovered that shit beer is rubbish. And now he's in New Zealand and he's learning that, like, well, you know, we've got both kinds. Does that sum it up, Tom?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
But I actually kind of killed your story. So you went to Australia and you couldn't drink the beer. And then what happened?
I came to New Zealand. That was it, really.
Oh, so my summing up actually was correct. So what was your first New Zealand beer that you had in New Zealand? Let me guess, it was something really crappy like Steinlager.
No, well, Steinlager, oddly enough, is one of the few Kiwi beers we got in England, and I always thought it was shit there. So
yeah, you were right. It's shit everywhere. It would be shit on the moon, but I would still drink it and enjoy the view. And can you imagine how much it would froth?
So, Tom, as a man of many provenances, what would you call it? How would you class a real New Zealander?
How would I class a real New Zealander?
Yeah, how would you describe a real New Zealander?
Oh, you're such a pro, Ben.
Oh, God. God, I don't know. How do you classify a real New Zealander?
Well, I don't know, Morgan. How do you classify a real New Zealander?
Killed a lot of people. I'm stereotyping, of course. He's a diplomat, not a murderer.
I think Morgan's referring to our new Governor General.
Our Governor General in waiting.
Right.
Elect? No, he's not elected.
Appoint?
He should be elected. I wouldn't vote for him. what's his name? I can't even remember. Where's my thing? My thing says New GG is a real New Zealander and has no link and no name.
So well organized. Quick, to the Herald, Batman.
To my own damn website where I wrote about him today after spotting his SAS insignia.
Well, the thing is...
This is Jerry Mateparai, who is New Zealand's next Governor General and is currently the Lieutenant General of the New Zealand Defence Force. So he's the boss of all of it.
Mm.
All of that.
Now, see, his name would have Paul Henry quite happy.
Would it?
He's also the head of GSCB.
GCSB. Yeah, that's right. And he has been, and now this is the Government Communication Security Bureau. He has been the head of that for a month.
That's interesting that he suddenly got tapped up.
And he is still that. So who knows? Hopefully he's going to drop that once he becomes Governor General. But the GCSB is our NSA.
Right. Yeah, it is.
They are the guys that do all the interception stuff. They are the guys who run Waihopai and do all of the dodgy communications trading with the US.
My sole interaction with the GCSB was when a friend of mine applied to be to the Air Force, and a GCSB man came around to ask me about his qualification to be a Defence Force person. They do it apparently.
Must have been a fake. Wow. I mean, that sounds like doing a background check on somebody.
Yeah, they background check, I think, everyone who applies. Well, they used to at the very least.
Except for the head of the Defence Force?
Yeah. So I just told them, you know, he was fine apart from his gun and knife obsession.
Yeah, so he was now it wasn't spoken about much, and later in the afternoon it was mentioned, but as well as being the head of the Defence Force and, you know, holding various positions, he was SAS, just like our Willie Appiata VC.
How did you know he was SAS?
Because he's got the SAS winged parachute badge on his shoulder, which is not the same as normal parachute. Really? Yeah, normal. I put it on my website, morgannickel.com.
Why do you know this, Morgan? Are you actually an SAS member?
We're not allowed to talk about it.
I always wondered why you stay up so late at night.
No, and
it's
I have
all that editing he does.
Yes, course. I'm editing the fuck out of people
and his guns.
We actually are kind of surrounded by guns a little bit, but none of them. I mean, they might sting a little bit. They're props for movies.
So the only reason we're guests is so he can get like inside info and pretend that he's talking to us. He's really just researching us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's say that's what it is. Hey, guess what? It's time to add another person to the show. Let's see if it adds it smoothly. Okay, well, it's ringing, so he'll appear in a moment, I'm sure.
Who are you ringing?
James Will, are you there? Yes! Would it be wrong if I just let it play?
Well played. We're no strangers to love.
We are boogieing in the studio.
You
know the rules,
and so you are a bad, bad man. Commitments are picking
up. You wouldn't get this from anybody. Are you actually there, James? Because we will talk to you as well as listening to that. No, he wouldn't.
So is it time for disc karaoke?
That was awesome. If you want to call back and have a word, we've got a prize for you.
A prize?
Yeah, we've got a prize for him.
Wow.
I'm going to scream in his ear.
Well, I do want Sam to call up because I did want to have a chat to her about phones.
But Sam.
I don't know if she has Skype. So James doesn't want to talk. I think that's him there. Is it Leo5263?
Yeah. Right. What a sneaky little sneak. So he's like our youngest listener and probably shouldn't be listening because isn't he under 18? Leo. Alleged Leo / James / you know, whatever other names you make up.
So James won't?
James, that's correct. He won't.
So next story. So the Governor General is a real New Zealander. He's also an SAS member and the head of our GCSB.
Now our head of state.
Yeah, this is...
What an overachiever.
Is he just going to take over? He's going to
joined the army in like 1972.
I've always said we need a dictator to get this country in shape.
Is he the man for the job?
Yeah.
What will he do with the Canterbury Plains?
I don't know.
No more irrigation, just lots of wind turbines. That's my fingers crossed. All along those. Yes?
No, it's all right. So should we get a chat room vote on our next story? Do you want to talk phone and tech device nerdery or sparkling sex toys for Twilight fans?
It's going to take ages for the... Because, I mean, I think there's quite a big buffer. So it's going to take 20 or 30 seconds to get through. Maybe we should ask in text. What are the questions?
Well, do we want to see, you know, sort of move on to you know, people, they like us to
one
talk
iPhone to. Nerdery? Is that what it was?
Phones and devices and stuff.
Yeah. All right.
You know, smartphones.
Phones and devices...
Smartphones.
What?
Or
it looks like Twilight should die.
What was the second option? You wanted
sparkly Twilight sex toys.
Twilight.
See, they're voting with their feet.
All
already.
Right. They say no Twilight stories. No Twilight. Twilight should die in a fire. No Twilight. I'm sensing a trend. Ooh, Twilight. We've got a vote in favour of iPhone nerdery. Nerdery. Clear. What's clear?
What?
Absolutely no Twilight. Okay, so we're getting a lot of votes here. If we're going to talk about our phony devices, let's...
Rick Astley over Twilight, no dear.
Okay, well, we have got a vote for Twilight, so I'm going to talk about Twilight.
It's not just Twilight, it's sex toys as well, you're right.
It is sex toys. There is it a vibrator or is it a dildo? Is it a vibrator? Maybe we assume it's got no batteries. It's called the Vamp, and not only is it deathly pale, but it also sparkles. Which, I mean, I know that I want sparkly things inside me right now. God, give it to me. And
so you're supposed to use this dildo in public, in daylight?
It sparkles in the sunlight. So if you put it where the sun don't shine, then it's not going to sparkle, is it?
There's a testimonial.
Unless the sun shines up your ass.
There's a customer testimonial. Quote, not as sparkly as I thought it would be, but it's a nice toy. Large head, the shaft tapers, wonderful texture, and no smell. See, now I didn't know some of these criteria for sex toys.
No.
So is this for vampires to use? Because as Louise mentions in the chat rooms, vampires have no blood. So presumably they can't have erections either. They can have maybe at best a big soft.
Yeah.
Check that out. That's a callback. That's a callback, like 15 weeks back.
That's a very good point. So then they can't have engorged nerve endings or anything of the sort.
It's rigor mortis, isn't it?
Oh, stay hard all week. No, it's what's it called? Priapism? I understand that's quite painful. I've never suffered from it for, you know, days on end or even more than a couple of hours, but God, I don't want to talk about that. Let's add another caller. Adding another caller.
Like
So I want to get rid of someone. Who's not talking?
Well, we can't get a word in.
All right, you win this round. Oh, wait, there's more. Are there more testimonials?
FIFO, first in, first out.
Here's another testimonial. What I really wanted was an ice-cold penis in my needy vag, so I put it in the fridge. I put it in the fridge, and it froze to my labia for an hour. Mind you, I came like a geyser, but it was very awkward to explain. But it was very awkward to explain to my dog. This was meant to be a non-insane show. I'm sorry, but I...
You've had too many monsters.
I've had too many monsters, which is not many for ages. I mean, it's... 5 hours.
I'll bring it down a notch for you, Morgan.
All right, that'd be good. Thank you.
I'll bring it down a notch. I don't even know where to start.
Can I ask a serious question?
You may.
Yes, Tom?
Well, just speaking as a POM who doesn't... I've been living in New Zealand for about 8 years, but there are still some things I don't quite know about. I thought the Governor General was a relatively powerless position.
Well, no, because they can dissolve Parliament at their whim.
And they do sign laws into effect once they've been voted on by Parliament.
So they basically will always go with the flow. And if they ever don't, we'll probably be a republic the next month.
It's a bit like the Queen herself. She actually has a lot of power, which she never uses.
That's right, because if she ever did, people would realise that, you know, that power should, in a democracy, that power should not be vested in one unelected person.
Yes.
Like it is in America.
Yeah. Yes, the veto power, that sort of. Yeah, so it's basically, well, the Governor General is the Queen's representative in New Zealand.
That's right.
So it is effectively the same as you see in the UK, which is rubber stamping everything that is voted on, basically.
Because I was kind of surprised at the reaction on Twitter today about the announcement. If it's a relatively powerless position, then why does it matter that he's got another job, even if it is the head of the secret listening people, whatever it's called? I just couldn't. Is there something I'm missing here? Because I couldn't really see what people were annoyed about.
Well, I mean, the equivalent is if Prince
we're probably
Charles...
just excited that a Maori got a job.
Ouch.
We have sunk to new lows.
Marginal joke.
I think it's Ben's right. Going to quit the show. It's all Governor General related stuff.
Tom, I think.
Funnier than Paul Henry.
Wasn't there this, you know, doesn't Prince Andrew like a bit of a what do you call it, ambassador type person as
he's
well?
He's an economic envoy or something.
Yeah, trade ambassador and that sort of thing. So I guess if he became king, you'd want him to stop doing his economic envoy stuff, wouldn't you?
Well, king's a glorified economic envoy, isn't it? I mean,
true. Who was calling in, Morgan?
I was trying to add someone who I know is enraged by my racism and my occasional homophobia and sexism, and I was going to get him on to tell me off, but apparently he's busy.
Oh.
All right. Now, he's got kids and he's dealing with the kids. Something about a trade envoy to Caprica?
No, we're talking about trade envoys here. I've been up
so you were using an Android phone this week, were you, Ben?
Yeah, I've been using an Android phone up in Seattle because I had my New Zealand SIM in my Windows phones for, you know, emergency calls and texts and stuff, and a T-Mobile SIM in a Android.
Okay, what device was it?
The Huawei IDEOS X5 from 2 years.
Okay.
Nice device for
Huawei
device.
For an Android.
For an Android, and it's cheap. You know, it's $500, which is what Androids should be. So, quite happy with it at that price, really.
What was the Idios? That's about the $300 one, isn't it? The Idios.
Yeah.
Is the Idios still on the market?
So they're both Idioses.
Right. Okay.
One's an X5. The other one's the U8 8150.
U8150, yeah. Not a good name. X5, catchy. It's an all right name.
Yeah.
X5 sounds like it might be some kind of vertical takeoff and landing space plane.
Now, I was thinking we should, 2 Degrees lent it to me. I played with it, wrote up a review. It's a good phone. Then they said, if you want, you can give it away. But we can't give it away without knowing if it's a really good phone.
Oh, we better give it a real thorough test.
Yeah, so I think Morgan should test it for a while.
I'm going to test it. But do you know what that means? That means I've got a surplus phone.
I could always do with a new Android.
Could you? Could you really, Mark?
So what I was going to say earlier is that this is the first time in about 18 years that I've spoken to David.
David who?
Dustin.
Is David Dustin still on Skype?
That's a long time. Oh, you're telling me you're old IRC buddies, are you?
This was going back into real life, back into Napier and Palmerston North in the Amiga days.
Jesus.
Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you guys. Boring us with the details of your private lives, what we were just trying to do in our sneaky sideways way was get Sam on, who won this Idios U8510, 8150?
80, something like that. It's got an 8 and a 1 and a 5 and a 0 in it, in some order.
0158. Yeah, we'll just put it in order. And we tried to get her on Skype so we could give her the good news that the phone that she actually won fair and square months ago is finally going to make its way to her. Now that it's been all, ruined.
Tested.
Yeah, tested, that's the word. But she's at work and she can't Skype in, so bummer. But no, not teasing. Going to send it to you. Email your address, your postal address, to comments at discourse.co.nz and we'll send it right down to you.
Yep.
And you'll say, hey, yay, wow. One thing to be aware of, and this is something that surprised me when I pulled it out of the box, it doesn't have a micro SD card and it's kind of useless without that. So you'll need to, maybe we should get one of those. Maybe I'll go and buy one tomorrow.
Yeah, it's good for music. The other funny thing about Android is Morgan... When I did a factory reset on the X5 when I lent it to Morgan, and then Morgan turned it on, and there's all my photos on there. Luckily, there's no...
What kind of a factory reset is that?
Luckily, there's no dick shots on it, but I'm wondering, Morgan, if you want to do a bit more careful factory reset of that phone before you send it to Sam.
Yeah, because there are definitely dick shots on my one. Just, you know, that's how I roll. Because it's got a surprisingly wide-angle lens, ladies.
But honestly,
she's not even going to want it now. I'm kidding. Obviously, I'm kidding. But I have looked at a lot of porn using it. It's handy. It's got a very small low resolution screen though, so it's like you can. Oh my god, this is meant to not be an insane show. If this was an insane show, I could say things like, I'm not even going to say it.
But isn't that terrible though? So if it says factory reset, and it comes up and it says this warning: this will erase all data on your phone and all installed apps and everything. So yep, sweet as, that's exactly what I want.
That is absolutely appalling. It seems like a terrible oversight.
So did it put all the images on the SD card and didn't?
No, it does not have an SD card in it. SD card. So I took some photos. I played with it a bit, installed some apps, hit the factory reset, gave it to Morgan, and it said, yep, fine, new phone, click here to set up. And then he went in to take a photo, and there was my photos.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah.
I'm suggesting that Sam might wish to boil the phone just to be safe. But I'm not sure what the warranty's like.
I think just some Purell would probably be enough. Yeah.
I don't think you'll need anything. I'm a normal, I'm probably a slightly cleaner than average person. I actually wash my hands.
That comment about Android not deleting their photos is just one of the many attention to detail aspects. So I was up at Seattle because I was up at the Microsoft for the Microsoft MVP Summit.
Getting your bias well filled up.
Yep, getting my Kool-Aid, which we'll come back to later on.
Tasty.
His new thing is boom.
Boom!
Boom!
Shake, shake, shake.
Boom, boom, boom,
boom. Boom!
So he said boom about, Steve Ballmer we're talking about, said boom about 50 times during his keynote speech.
Steve Ballmer, fuck off. Seriously, he should not be at the top of Microsoft.
Who launched Android, the main guy from Android, in his presentations last year, he was always saying boom.
Oh, maybe that's where Steve's taking it from. Why do you say that, Morgan?
Mm.
Hey, wow. So it looks like the chat room, unbeknownst to me, is all censored, and that's really amusing when people swear in there. Oh, well, I think that mine go out all right.
So I see Sam's decided to get the phone chemically cleaned.
That's probably a good
call. So you're fine.
Yeah, seems appropriate.
Yeah.
Now, I say that he shouldn't be in that role because he seems to be just a cheerleader dickhead. But what he needs to be is a Steve Jobs-style dictator, which is something that spoke about at Webstock, kind of the need, the success that's brought by having, you know, a central point of awesomeness and kind of draconianness even.
A lot of people are saying that. And I mean, some people defend Steve Ballmer by saying he's a maths PhD and he's intelligent, this sort of stuff.
So what?
But, the charisma isn't there.
As Leighton says, he's got no taste or vision. Mm-hmm. And that, I mean, it's important to have both of those things.
The charisma is missing.
Look at...
So all the content at NBC NBP Summit was under NDA.
Yeah.
But it's no secret that there is a base standard for Windows Phone 7, right? There's a base standard that they have to adhere to. The one thing I can say is that a standard goes a lot further than you actually think. It's more than hardware. I was really interested by that. So they put some incredibly stringent requirements on OEM manufacturers to actually prove that they've built what they've said they've built.
Yeah.
I found that interesting. And it also says to me that's why, explains why Android will never have the smooth interface that iPhone and Windows Phone have, because Android is designed for OEMs that don't give a shit about user experience.
Yeah.
If it runs Android, they can put it on it. But there's no further requirements than that. And furthermore, I'll say one thing that I sort of clicked in my head, that out of all the major OEMs making phones, they tend to make them both for Windows Phone and for Android.
Yeah.
But Sony doesn't make a Windows Phone.
Right. So
if... What does that say?
You think that reveals something?
Yeah, I think it does. I just think it shows that Sony is slack when it comes to hardware standards.
Or they don't want to make a Windows phone.
I just don't think they don't have the commitment to make a phone that works properly.
Is this Android with Google?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, this one's with Google.
Yeah. So there was actually a picture on the net the other day of a Sony Xperia phone running Windows Mobile 7, but it turned out it was a demo phone that they'd done, which they discontinued.
Okay. This Capuchin in the chat room, Android with Google, that's bullshit. The only thing about with Google is that it's running...
Capuchin, get on the Skype, Capuchin.
It's running vanilla Android. There's nothing in the with Google says...
With Google just means that you've actually got Gmail, Google Calendar, Maps.
Yeah.
Because when the Samsung Galaxy S, the reason that was delayed is that they used their own mapping system, their own GPS service, location service.
Voice search. Oh, I've got Talk. There we go.
Yeah.
That might be it.
Great radio, Morgan. You're doing well.
You would have thought the Talk button on a phone would do something else.
Yeah, wouldn't you just? Because that's not actually Talk. That's Swipe.
Speaking of,
but it's also the Google Talk logo in the icon.
Yeah, true. Were you talking about tablets there for a moment there, Mark?
Very briefly.
Elucidate, or I'm going to talk about
movies. Well, you can
get
tablets that don't have phones.
I have a test for people on Skype.
Yeah.
Imagine for a moment you are a marketing or PR employee of Samsung.
Yeah. Okay, I'm imagining that'll be pretty good because they've got some great devices. They've got the Galaxy S, they've got the Galaxy Tab, they've got fairly nice laptops as well. Yep, okay.
And then so the iPad 2 launch comes along, and so you're a PR person saying, yep, cool, we'll look at this.
This is going to be great.
Yep.
We're really competitive.
Yeah, we've got a cool the Galaxy Tab, this sort of stuff. And then your executive vice president of mobile division comes out and says, and I quote, yeah, we will have to improve the parts that are inadequate.
What did he say? But that stuff's so good.
If I was that PR person, I'd be very happy.
Skype room, what do you do as a PR person?
Get a new job.
Yeah, we've got to fill a lot of space because how long did it take before they started? I'm going to hang up on you. So we've got one answer is cry. Pretty good response. He's got the fastest internet.
It's actually funny. It's one of those responses that if you actually look at it at face value, he's right.
I think that's right.
It's just saying fix the bugs. But I'm quite sure from a PR standpoint, it's a disastrous thing to say.
Yeah.
But I'm not in PR, so, you know.
Yeah, it's
good work for BP.
BP Global PR. Yeah, do you think there's a Samsung Global PR account on Twitter? We're not very good, but we're trying.
Language barrier. Do you think language barrier? That he didn't say inadequate.
Maybe he's an engineer.
It's a translation of inadequate.
Lots of those Asian tech companies are engineer-driven, engineer-run, right? So it could be that he's just used to talking very straight.
Yeah, it could be.
Which is probably, you know, that's probably true. And, I mean, it's definitely true that everyone is playing catch-up with Apple and have been for a couple of years now.
There was another one of the best and most interesting statements about the iPad 2 that I heard was it's the first device ever that has a camera that is lower resolution than its screen.
Hardgrig says rear camera is 720p.
There you go. So 720p is 1280 by 720.
And so what's the new screen?
There isn't a new screen. It's the same screen as the iPad 1.
Oh.
There you go.
There's no Retina screen in the iPad 2.
It's thinner. It has a dual-core processor and that's about
which gives it about a 5% performance increase over the iPad 1 according to the latest comparisons.
So it's got more pixels. The video has more pixels than the screen.
Yes.
Right, okay.
No, the video has...
So it's not lower res. I mean, it's not as wide.
A 4x3 photo off that video, off that camera, though, will be lower res on
cropped.
The screen.
Yeah. Right, okay. Mm. All right, but it won't necessarily be cropped, will it? I mean, it might just display letterbox, not letterbox.
I'm assuming
Canon
it would
scan.
Display, it's, like, resized down.
Yeah.
It's speculation by someone on the internet.
I think that, once again, speculation on the internet, probably not correct. Dear internet, just shut up.
Discourse needs to buy us all iPad 2s so we can experiment and come back.
Yeah, with all that massive revenue we're getting from all the advertising that we don't have.
I can see Keith Patton, well-known Windows Phone fanboy, is flaming the iPad in the chat room. Go, Keith!
Now, you can buy me an iPad 2 box, because that'll be up on Trade Me soon, probably.
Yeah.
For $600. There we go. Chris Keel is weighing in with iPad facts. We know that we can trust that man.
Wow, we've got Chris Keel. Let's get him on. Someone convince Chris to join the show on Skype. Morgan Nickel.
Next story.
Next story. What's the next story? So can we just point out that we just gave away a fucking phone?
Yeah.
Yay! Finally.
just by the way.
And when Morgan gets bored with the X5, we'll probably give that away too.
Yeah, we'll give that away as soon as you get another upgrade.
Just delete your photos first.
I get his hand-me-downs and then you get the sloppy seconds, dear listeners. Oh, what is the next story? Something about Jerry Brownlee.
Do we want to talk Jerry Brownlee? Yeah, okay.
I don't mind. I mean, what is he good at? What he's good at is... eating and sitting down, probably. Politicking?
Politicking. I had this one alongside John Key's comment about having to demolish 10,000 homes because it shows a trend.
Wow, 10,000 homes, that's a lot. It must have taken a long time for all the structural engineers to go through all those houses and evaluate them and red sticker them and make the decision that they should all be demolished. I'm really amazed by the performance of those engineers.
They haven't gone through it.
Oh, wait. No, but so is it some kind of algorithm that's been applied by mathematicians? They looked at the aerial maps of the area and they made a careful academic evaluation of the nature of other disaster areas and the houses that would have to be knocked down or something like that, then I assume.
No, he just made it.
It wasn't that either. Okay, so... wait, so
the theme
where
here,
did this number come from?
It came from John Key's head. The milestones required for us to catch up with Australia came from Brownlee's head.
What are those milestones? We need to make a hell of a lot more money.
So,
and have like uranium mines.
Catching up with Australia is a platform for National. And so they're starting to put in place policies which they believe will make us catch up with Australia.
Also, you know what else was an important policy for them? Not raising any taxes. GST. It's a levy, not a tax. No, it's a tax.
That's true. So you think as the government, right, you would put in place policies and then have milestones to measure those policies against to see if they're improving, you know, they're taking you towards the thing.
Otherwise you don't know how well you're doing in your goals.
No.
Yeah. So I have a to-do list. I don't often cross things off, but I have a to-do list.
Mm.
So what's on National's to-do list for catching up with Australia?
Pretty much nothing.
But what? That doesn't make any sense. Give me 4 hours and a Google and I can come up with, you know, a good dozen great milestones. So it would make sense.
But they don't have them. So
Is that for political reasons? So if they don't have any numbers to aim for. So it's like Ken Ring. You know, if it's all really vague, you can claim success.
I imagine that's probably why it is. Yeah.
Oh, did I mention Ken Ring? Have we got any Ken Ring believers in the audience? Because I would be surprised if you knew how to get onto Ustream if you're a believer, honestly.
Tumbleweed.
Well, I was hoping that someone else would fill some of the air. All right, do we need some new people on the show?
Ringtards.
I was just going to say that waiting to catch up, this whole idea of catching up with Australia seems slightly bizarre because it'll probably within sort of 10 or 15 years that Australia will slow down to New Zealand. I mean, what with the national disasters they're having and the water shortages and the crop failures and God knows what else, you know. Just because they've got the mining industry, it doesn't mean that they're going to survive.
A little bit of reality to bring the mood crashing down there, Tom.
No, I think nationalist policy is, you know, wait for them to come to us.
So we have a semi-believer in the Ken Ring stuff in the chat room there, but not really a real believer. So it's not close enough. So I don't think we should talk about that because it's too easy. Let me just come out and say one thing. I think Campbell was right. He shouldn't have even had him on the show to begin with, but if he's going to have him on, there's a very dangerous thing with letting someone like Ring talk.
That was when I was away and I haven't watched it yet. But I saw all the backlash.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was pretty heavy duty backlash. So what, he just talked over him the whole time and said, no, you're an idiot.
He gave him a chance to talk, but he wouldn't talk. And then after that, he basically didn't give him any more chance.
Right.
He gave him two chances, I'd say. And then after that, it was just over talk.
Right.
And as Leighton says, balance is BS.
Yeah.
When, you know, the preponderance of evidence says, you know, 95% of people say rubbish. 5% of people say, oh, yeah, there could be something to that. Then maybe he should get 5% of the time. Maybe that much. But certainly not free air. Because something that Ken Ring's been getting for years from the New Zealand media is really free air.
Yeah.
Because he uses, you know, very woo scientific sounding terms.
That are
essentially meaningless.
Yeah, so it's like creationary science, you know, creationist science, where they make up crap terms to new earth stuff.
But hey, just a second.
It's like beauty products.
Hey, Mark.
You know, the latest nanotubules in your beauty cream or whatever. So it's wonderful. Bullshit, they come up.
I called Mark because I suspect you're probably an evolutionist.
Creationist?
I'm a not really give a shittist. It happened some time ago. I wasn't born. I look to the future.
God damn it. What's the point in having a Christian on if he's not going to be inflammatory?
When they're a cynical, jaded Christian,
a death metal Christian.
So while we're talking controversial subjects,
yep.
Chris Keel asked us to discuss Labour's new social website and giant logo.
I think the logo is hideous. They've got a ridiculous ligature between the A and B.
And the red silver fern, the red fern, since when is the fern ever red?
Well, it's cheaper printing costs to have one colour.
PMS, whatever it is, Pantone colour.
God, I hope not. I think in general, I probably prefer the new logo, the old one, the italicised, I don't even know what it is, Times or something, semi-bold Times, is ugly. It's better than the old 1970s, super bold. Sans serif one. It's better than them, but it's still that ligature. I can't stand the ligature, and I really like the fern on there. I love having the fern on there.
The A is horrible.
The A is horrible.
The site looks pretty good, but why are they linking to Canterbury Earthquake instead of eq.org.nz?
Why do you think?
I don't know. Maybe it's
political?
It's official. Yeah, no, it's a good site.
I see Starbucks launched their new branding today as well with their new logo.
Really?
Yeah.
Starbucks.
So they've gotten rid of the external circle or something.
I'll tell you what, that's going to cost them a lot of money in Seattle because there are a shit ton of Starbucks in Seattle. Honestly.
Yeah, apparently they rebranded over there last month, or at least they announced the rebranding, but yeah.
Well, I did notice that one of their stores looked a bit different, but everything else looked the
same. Oh my God, I'm so bored. I can't even tell you how bored I am right now.
Let's get back to Android, shall we?
You know what? Whose fault it was? It was Chris Keel's fault.
Chris Keel, he's trying to kill us. What's going on, Chris? Why would you do it? We thought you were our buddy, big media buddy.
How fine a line are we running to libel if we read out Chris B's last comment in the chat room?
Chris B. I have heard it suggested before that Michael Havoc smoked pee. I don't know if that's true or not. I'm sure he had the odd bit of weed. Maybe he had the odd line of speed. But, I mean, that's not something to judge. I mean, he was a DJ and nightclub owner. I mean, easy now. I mean, naturally, who amongst us hasn't ever had some weed, you know, and a little bit of coke? And, you know. Mark, listen.
I'm sorry I haven't lived. I haven't lived up to your standards of dodginess.
Debauchery.
Are you aware there's nipples visible on the old 1971 Starbucks logo?
There are nipples.
Finally, nipples. Oh, but it's on the fish lady. It's on the what, mermaid, yeah?
Fish yeah, lady. It's on the mermaid, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, Christians don't count, Mark. I'm sorry. It's official. Official lady. I want to get... this is not...
Wait. But no, you can't count. There is no census this year. You cannot count.
What?
Census got cancelled, remember?
Why can't I count?
Well, because census got cancelled.
What do you think I can't count? Number of Christians?
Yeah.
Falling.
So we got... actually...
Diversifying.
The interesting thing I found...
Stay on mic.
The last few sentences was that... in terms of Christianity, I think Catholicism was the only one that was growing, which surprised me. I think, is it the neoconservatism out there?
I hope it's a
mistake. Better quality education?
Yeah, that could be interesting. People declaring themselves Catholics to get into the schools.
Oh, do you think that could be it? I doubt it. But, I mean, because that could be nothing more than a blip. That wouldn't change the trend line, would it?
No, so no more Skypists. That's all right.
All right, let's see what happens if I do this.
What did you do?
Who knows? I don't even know. But we'll find out. It could work or it could not. It depends on how on the ball. No, he's not on the ball.
Oh, okay.
Weak. We need more callers. Why haven't we got more callers?
Caller? Although someone has proposed another topic for us to talk about.
Come on, callers, join the party.
And call
0900 40 40 40.
Who's been affected by the dick bar?
Not me, because it's iPhone only, right?
I know, neither have I.
Sucked in iPhone users. Eat a dick bar.
I did. The best tweet I saw was...
What's a dick bar?
The best tweet I saw was that the gay community was being completely horrified by... What is it? Let down by the dick bar.
Right.
Yes.
What is the dick bar?
It hasn't come up with what it's supposed to be. I don't know what the dick bar is. I haven't even seen it.
I'm pretty sure that the dick bar is
from what
I
understand.
Shut up, Mark. I'm doing... All right, you can do it.
From what I understand, I could be completely wrong because I'm an Android person, not an iPhone person.
Well, I could do this job.
Okay.
I'm capable of being wrong.
Isn't it just the trending bar at the top of the new iPhone application?
Yes.
Yes.
But they only put paid listings in that bar.
Right.
So it's always sponsored tags, sponsored words.
Okay. The funny
thing also vibrates it. Whenever you send a message as well.
This iPhone vibrates?
Yeah.
My phone vibrates every time I touch anything, and it's really good because it kind of fakes haptics. I guess in a sense it is haptics.
Mm.
Silence.
Is it though? Is it haptics?
It's fake haptics. It's a physical response. It's a different physical response when you touch something. That's
I've
haptics.
Already mentioned the haptic cow on Discourse, haven't I?
I don't know.
Have I mentioned the haptic cow?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Do you know what the haptic cow is, Morgan?
What's the haptic cow, Ben?
It's a great piece of machinery. It's for training people on internal conditions.
Yes, I have. Yes,
of
yes.
Cows, yes. Yeah. It's a big plastic rear end, and you put your hand into it and feel around, and it can respond with different conditions.
I bet they clean that thing out really carefully because, I mean, it's guaranteed to be misused. I mean, come on.
What would you program into it, Morgan?
What would I program into it? A gentle rippling suction? It's like the super fleshlight.
Well, look, now you're getting into teledildonics, and that's just a completely different conversation.
No, I'm not talking about teledildonics.
Louise has never seen a dick bar.
I guess they turn out the lights. If you're going to laugh, you've got to laugh into the microphone. That's not teledildonics, because teledildonics requires another person remotely. I'm just talking about programming the thing. Mark?
Yes.
Leo says this needs video. This does not need video because Ben and I are naked and oiled up and his wife loves him dearly and doesn't need to see some of the things that we've been doing.
The best thing about the dick bar is that people have very quickly come up with a JavaScript dick bar that you can apply to your own website. And
excellent.
Someone else has provided you know, DickBar code, so you can apply DickBar to your own iOS apps as well.
Brilliant.
I think it's great.
So let's talk a little bit more about how great I am.
Morgan's so great.
I know, right?
He's so great.
God, I know. You know what's not great? What? I'll tell you what's not great. Have you ever heard of a movie? It's a little movie. It came out in the 80s. It's an old movie. Blade Runner? Have you ever heard of that?
There's a good segue here because that was done by Philip K. Dick.
Is there a good segue? Guys, I thought I was involved in the middle of a segue. Okay, you have your way. Have your way, Ben.
I would have said Blade Runner.
Screw you guys, actually. I'm leaving. No, you're fucking segue.
He's left the room. Blade Runner is based on a story by Philip K. Dick, and I thought that was an interesting segue from Dick Bar. I think it's just because I like saying Dick a lot. but Morgan was about to say something about...
Oh, that. I was going to say something.
He got two beers and didn't even get one for me.
Okay, I'm not going to say something then. No. Screw you guys. Do you want to know that?
Yes. He's going to talk about Blade Runner, but I don't know what he's going to talk about it. So I'm just having to fill dead air here.
Hey, the original Scott. Or the special edition that had extra footage?
The special edition with extra footage.
I think there was, wasn't there?
All right, you mothers, I'm going to school your asses. As Ben says, there is a connection with Philip K. Dick because Dick wrote a short story called Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep?
That's the one.
And Blade Runner is very roughly based on that. If you've ever read the short story, you'll know that when I say roughly, I mean really roughly. In fact, tenuously. but what there never was Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep 0 or 2. And these motherfuckers, these brain-dead, idea-absent deserts of creativity have decided they need to make a prequel and a sequel for Blade Runner.
That's just wrong.
It is just wrong. Just don't do it.
Now, are they going to do these in 3D?
Hopefully.
Oh, God.
Are you about to talk about Star Wars?
What limits are there to... people that own this sort of, I guess, the IP of Blade Runner.
You know, the bottomless depths, yeah. The depravity.
This is what I mean, though. You know, it's caused by, like you say, brain-dead idea wastelands in Hollywood thinking, here's something we can rape for more money.
Yeah.
And I don't use the term lightly.
Oh, rape culture. Excellent reference. Episode 15 or something. Yeah.
There's no way to stop it, is there? Because they own the rights.
And I saw a really excellent rundown.
People will go to the movie.
There's something like 30 sequels or prequels or threequels or quadrequels coming out this year. There's like more fourth in a series movies than have ever been in one year before. And more second and more third as well. And it's like, what the hell is going on?
Has this always been
write a new story? I mean, there must be a lot of new stories out there, but they are so afraid of taking any kind of risk that they just won't do it. So they'll make Pirates 4 and 5 and 6, and they'll make 7 fucking Harry Potter movies, which maybe that is all right because they're all based on, you know, a separate book.
Is it because there's a need for more content, or is it risk aversion? Like, has it always been the way? Were there less movies in a year before?
I don't know. I don't know what the numbers would be.
Do you have a pop culture expert on the line?
Hey, pop culture expert in the chat room, we know you exist. What's your name? Join us on the Skype. Join us on the Skype.
One of the things I've heard about it is that they're trying to reintroduce the themes and the ideas for the current generation. And the current generation is expecting a lot more than what is delivered in the older films. The older films are a lot slower paced. Whereas people want, you know, instant gratification.
I want instant gratification, and that's why I've got Ben in the studio.
Well, you talk about they want more out of their movies, but, I mean, in some ways the newer movies have got a lot less in terms of actual plot and character development and things like that. I mean, you're right, they're looking for the quicker buzz on the sort of action sequences and the 3D and all that kind of thing. But a lot of these movies, there's actually not much to them.
I want to go on a limb here right now, and I want to tell you that the Matrix sequels were good, but only if you saw all three sequels. And a lot of people only saw Revolutions and Reloaded, and they didn't see the Animatrix.
And Animatrix was good.
If you liked the Matrix, watch Animatrix, and then watch Revolutions and Reloaded, because that shit is so good. Animatrix is incredible. It's about maybe 70 minutes of animated, it's little vignettes. It's little stories around the Matrix universe. It's about the original creation of, you know, the war between the machines and the humans. It's about burning the sky. It's about the cause of the war, which is basically the humans being assholes to the robots, which are smarter than people. Watch it. Animatrix. I'm sure you can download it from the Pirate Bay right now. This episode was brought to you by Flatter.com. Actually, we can make that true.
Yeah, we could. We should set up a Flatter thing. Sequels being better than or as good as originals.
Yeah, you're this very far from your mic.
This is a pet subject of Mark Kermode.
Yeah.
And I think his only other one that fits in there was Toy Story as well.
Toy Story 3, oh my God, yeah. It's so good. I cried.
Yeah, I did too.
Chat room, how many people cried in Toy Story 3? It wasn't just me.
Yeah.
You cried?
Yeah, I did, definitely.
Because, I mean, that was a brilliant story. It was so well made. Heading down. Yeah. Well, I'm going to spoil it for you, Mark. They all die in a fire.
Are they actually alive, though?
They're alive when no one's looking at them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is any of us alive, Mark? We should have the philosopher on if you want to talk about that kind of thing.
And I think he said Indiana Jones pre-Crystal Skull.
Oh, Crystal Skull was so bad.
It was very bad. But the three before.
Swinging through the trees with like monkeys chasing you and what? Indiana Jones movies, let's be honest.
Coins the new Jumping the Shark, riding the fridge.
Oh God, I'd forgotten about that. So for people who haven't made the mistake of watching Crystal Skull,
yes.
Indiana Jones survives a nuclear explosion by climbing inside an old-fashioned, well, I guess it was new-fashioned at the time, a very heavy fridge, and then kind of tumbles over the horizon.
The important thing is as he opens the door, there's a little plaque inside that door that says lead-lined for some reason.
Right, naturally. Yeah,
well, I have to say my gran had one of those old-fashioned fridges when I was a kid, and they all built like a brick shit house.
But yeah, we had one as well. They're
I'm
the
not
fridges
saying
that
it's possible, but, you know, it's...
Do you remember that, having a fridge where there was actually a catch to open the door? So you had to pull the lever, and then that would...
Yeah, and you really had to yank it.
Yeah. Those mothers, they kids died in them, and I'm sure that in the hands of psychopathic children and teenagers, a lot of pets died in them as well. Because people are awful. People are awful. Oh, my God. People suck so bad. The end of that song, it went downhill. But I enjoyed the beginning.
Well, I just wanted to mention something about Toy Story 3. Yep. I don't know if the couple of tweets I managed to squeak out when I was in China through the Great Firewall.
Yeah.
The first week I was staying in this hotel in a place called Songjiang. And the first morning I went down to breakfast. And there was a guy sitting at the table next to me. And I thought, he looks really familiar.
It was.
And then this other guy came down and sat with him. And I thought, he looks really familiar too. And I realized it was Quentin Tarantino and Eli Roth.
Holy shit. Oh, my God.
In a hotel about an hour south of Shanghai.
What were they
in
doing?
In this small, nondescript hotel.
That's incredible.
But I was sitting close enough so I could hear them chatting.
They'd
obviously both flown in the night before and they were having a chat. And they did actually talk about Toy Story 3 and Eli Roth said he cried. Now, this is the man who wrote Hostel and what's that, Cabin Fever? And, you know, so there you go. It's
Hostel was quite fun in its own way. I mean, I've never seen an eyeball soldering ironed out of someone's face before and hopefully never again. Cabin Fever, maybe not
Toy
so good.
Toy Story 3?
Yeah, that was Toy Story 3. That's what Woody did to Buzz.
I watched 127 hours on the plane over to the States.
I watched it in the theatre.
Really good. I really liked it. I mean, it reminds me
of
a little...
That was New Zealand Sign Language for...
In
the theatre.
In the theatre. Oscar season is great, isn't it?
I love Oscar season. And they haven't even been doing that black and white thing this year.
No,
I don't know what you're talking about, Ben.
No idea. But
127 hours. Oh my God! James Franco.
Yeah,
is so friggin'. I haven't seen the Oscars. Yeah. I've heard that was pretty bad.
Yeah,
he is such a. He is amazing. Yeah. I would blow that guy for hours.
It reminded me of
and also he's gay, so that would be totally possible. He's so gay.
reminded me of Castaway in that it was better than Castaway, but it reminded me that it was mostly monologue and mostly one man playing to the screen, and he did it really well.
Yeah. Mm. Man, oh man.
Yeah.
And he's doing like 5 degrees at once.
Is he?
Franco. He is the busiest mother in Hollywood. He's like doing like PhDs at, you know, various universities because he can, because the dude has apparently a pretty good brain on him, and he's got an assistant to run his life, and he is just absolutely nonstop, go all the time. Well, like, and meanwhile, he's productive. You know, he's making short films and he's doing, you know, art projects and he's
like Charlie Sheen.
Well, Charlie Sheen. I don't know. Is Charlie Sheen doing much?
We haven't come back
Sheen's
to Charlie
Corner.
Sheen. The funniest thing I find about Charlie Sheen right now is that apparently he's upsetting all the social media experts because he's winning.
Why would they be upset though?
I don't know. Apparently he's corrupting it because he's not a real social media guy and he's on there winning and you know, making a go of it.
Discourse listeners, you're either in Discourse's corner or you're with the trolls.
Are you on a drug, Morgan?
I'm on several drugs, ethanol and sugar. Related. Sorry, actually, quite closely to one another.
He's winning. What do you mean?
I'm using his own term because he says he's winning. When he was asked if
he has tattoo,
he says he has tiger blood.
Winning.
Tiger blood. Has he got a winning tattoo?
He's got a winning tattoo. He revealed it. I did actually watch one of the Ustream things and he revealed his tattoo live on the Ustream.
I watched
winning.
I watched his interview on ABC on because it was on the night, one of the nights I was over in the States. And the best line was, Diane Sawyer, who would have said, are you bipolar? And he said, I'm by winning.
Here's those news pieces. So they were like 5 in 1 day of these crazy videos and reports. And he is so entertaining. I mean, according to the drugs tests, which I think he's now done 3 of, and they all said he's not actually on anything. So either he's got a really sneaky syringe of, you know, clean, you know, virginal urine somewhere,
or he's yeah, it's in his brain.
Yeah, or he is deeply in the brain.
But I'm kind of intrigued by Charlie Sheen because his line is that he's just doing what anyone would do in his situation if they weren't filtering,
if they were completely insane.
Well, no, I mean, if you were a rock star, if you were a movie star and you had access to porn stars and drugs and money,
huge amounts of money, yeah,
would you, you know? Is that just what you'd do? And is this? I think that's kind of the point he's making. Is he's just doing what anyone else would do, but he's not hiding it.
I know what I think I'd do.
What?
Pretty much what he does, but with more charity.
Yeah, I don't know. Does he go to charity?
I take all these women in off the streets and give them a warm bed, and a hot meal. A hot lunch. Don't look that up on Urban Dictionary.
A hot lunch?
Yeah, don't. No, don't repeat it. You'll regret it. Am I going to open the file now?
For a hot lunch.
I've opened it. No, Leighton, I don't think I actually would. I think I'd probably just, you know, I mean, because I'm married with a family and stuff, I think I'd take the money and live comfortably. But, yeah.
James Franco relaxing in a bed, asleep it looks, with two cats. Probably one of his dissertations.
Is James Franco like the anti-Charlie Sheen?
Wearing headphones. Yeah, I think so. Because, I mean, he must be pretty clean or he wouldn't be able to maintain the kind of the... Maybe he's on the I don't know what, Ritalin. Well, he might be.
Yeah.
Who can say? God, he's got a winning smile too. I'd, et cetera, et cetera. Mm. Ladies. I really want more callers. Why haven't we got more callers? Is it because we've got, you know, we seem so comfortable with the ones we've got?
Yeah.
Am I going to have to explode this place?
Hang up on some
just to make it exciting. Sorry, you're gone. I just clicked at random. Sorry, Dave.
You are the weakest link.
Mark, you're gone as well. So I don't know, weakest link. You. Let's see what happens if I do this. Is he going to be there?
Who are you calling?
Is he on the Skype? We're trying to bring Dan on. Regen on Twitter. Oh. He's probably not. He's probably going to say, hey, get lost. Something like that.
Hey.
Hey. So are you going to tell me off for my racist joke earlier?
Sorry, I was running around after my kids. So don't be so racist, man. What's the deal
I know,
that?
And why am I such a homophobe?
I reckon.
Shut up about the women.
You're a homophile.
let's just back the truck up here. New Zealand Ben Gracewood from the internet. He just called me homo fine.
Or a homophile, either way.
Am I a homophile? I guess I like the company of men and, you know, the feel of their thrusting members. I should not have said that. Revealed. Fine as they come. So Mark's gone off to do some actual work. So that was probably a blessing in disguise.
So what were you guys talking about?
I don't even remember. James
Charlie
Franco.
Charlie Sheen, was it?
Yeah, Charlie Sheen, James Franco.
Governor General.
Governor General, I think SAS, badass.
Charlie Sheen seems to be easy to jump on because we're all a bunch of nerds.
Yeah.
And, you know, we don't sort of relate to the sort of things that he does. But I honestly don't think what he's doing is outside of character for a lot of people. I think a lot of people would like to think that that would be outside of their character.
Just a lot of other people aren't actually as poetic about it. I mean, he's not always. Sometimes he's a bit stumbly. But some of the things he's said are incredible.
Right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, and there's something about, you know, being honest about these things.
Although I think the way he broke into it with the whole Vatican assassin and warlock blood and that sort of stuff.
No, he is a warlock.
He's obviously under a lot of pressure. He's totally stressed and he's a bit frazzled.
Where did the Vatican assassins come from? That's great.
Oh, it's from Dan Brown.
Just that,
oh, is it?
Yep.
I was going to say, is it just that Charlie Sheen's just doing the same thing that many celebrities have done before him? He just happens to be doing it now in an era where we've got Twitter and we've got 24-hour coverage, and so it's a lot more in your face. I mean, the stuff that Gary Busey used to come out with. Sorry?
Or Mel Gibson not so long ago.
Yeah,
Sugar Tits.
True.
Yeah. Yeah.
Something about the Jews.
And if you go back to the early sort of 20th century and look at what Fatty Arbuckle used to get up to. I mean, it's actually not out of character for Hollywood. It's just he's doing it a lot more publicly.
And he's choosing to engage as well, rather than, you know, say, leave me alone. The thing that worries me, though, is if Charlie Sheen does turn up dead in a convertible Porsche,
yeah,
will people beat themselves up for not trying to stop him?
I'm just worried that Hollywood's going to take away all my favorite actors. Like poor old Tom Cruise is gone.
Where's Tom Cruise gone? Because he's a Scientologist.
Yeah.
He's been a Scientologist for years.
I know.
He's been a Scientologist probably, you know, pretty much his whole life, right? So Emilio Estevez, Charlie Sheen's brother, Carlos Estevez. And then he goes and hassles that dude who wrote Two and a Half Men for changing his name. That didn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
Anyway, his brother Emilio Estevez, he's a lovely boy, but he looks like he's had too much plastic surgery. I bet he's probably had too many porn stars and drugs as well. But there's a little bit of a meme going around on Film Drunk of doing, you know, caption shots of him. And they're beautiful. I'll put a bunch of them up on a gallery.
Of Emilio.
Winning. I'm not even keeping score. I'm a 747 bro. I deploy my wheels before I land. He keeps it very straight, this guy. I'm not Thomas Jefferson. He was a founding father. I'm healing at a pace that's above average for someone my age. I cured myself with fluids and plenty of rest.
That's an interesting aspect, though, isn't it? Where he's Charlie Sheen's bagging Alcoholics Anonymous for being crap, and he has apparently, like you say, he is clean.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, it is easier to fake those results, isn't it? By doing the bag of urine under your armpit. I mean, I've done that. I don't even know how many times. But you know, just for a little refreshing sip. Of an afternoon when I'm walking around. It's good for the electrolytes.
I do wonder how you get through a day, Morgan, with the amount of sleep you don't have.
I actually have quite a lot of sleep.
But do you think that technology affects the way you sleep?
I don't think anyone could think that.
Well, there's a study that's come out recently.
No.
A study says...
I'm sure Morgan can cure it with his mind anyway.
The study shows technology...
I'm on a drug. It's called Lipitor. Ask your doctor.
Study shows technology may inhibit good sleep. Good sleep. The National Sleep Foundation looked at the relationship between sleep habits and the use of electronic communications tech in the hour before bedtime. That's the point. You don't use communications, do you?
What?
What? In your hour before
One way.
Bedtime?
I like spew them out. I spray them out at the world on everyone's faces and chests, preferably tits.
What are you talking about?
I don't know. I wasn't really listening to you.
Communications devices.
I cured myself with antibiotics. Look at these photos in the gallery, because you will like it. And this, all my laughter will make sense suddenly, because he's got such a sweet smile and his nose is so surgically altered. It's tragic, really. So this study says that if you use computers before you go to bed, something sleep.
Interactive, it says. It says that my research compares how technologies that are passively received, such as TV and music, versus those with interactive properties like video games, cell phones, and the internet, may affect the brain differently.
Well, right, naturally,
so if you
obviously.
Think more, then you can't sleep.
I mean, it
makes sense. Yeah.
Yes, it completely makes sense, and it's been demonstrated, you know, time and again that playing games does make sometimes profound changes to your brain. So people who play first-person shooters tend to be able to make quite quick decisions, for instance, in business.
Interesting.
Did you say interesting?
I did.
Drink! Oh, we didn't do a buzzword bingo, because I guess we decided to do this like 3 hours before we actually came on.
So have you got an Urban Dictionary word, Morgan?
I've got a word. Who's going to play Urban Dictionary? Word of the week.
How many Skypers have we got on to play?
Who wants to play Urban Dictionary Word of the Week? Word of the Week, ladies.
Really bad sleep if you play Fallout or Oblivion in the hour before sleep. I find that I sleep okay, but the dreams are freaky.
Yeah, I have freaky dreams as well. And then it turns out that they were only too real.
I remember having Command and Conquer dreams.
Have you ever woken up screaming, covered in blood? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a good thing. So chat room, I'm not going to do the word in text. If you want to do the word, and I know that at least one of you does, you have to get on Skype, because this is a radio show, not a newsletter. I clipped out really badly there. I apologize, podcast listeners. while you are, I was going to do something, but I'm just so drunk.
You're going to do something. What are you going to do?
Word of the week.
Hmm.
No, but there was something else.
Do you have any corrections to make?
What was the other thing going to be? We never have corrections because we never make mistakes. When's the last time you made a mistake? Be honest. Never. Correct. Tom and Daniel, congratulations. You get to play Urban Dictionary Word of the Week. I'd play the thing. That's what I was going to do. I was going to go and find the thing
sting.
To play.
We're Sting Machine.
Very easy word for you this week. Who's going to start?
Yeah, I'll do it.
Excellent, Daniel. Congratulations. Your word. Do you think I should play the sting?
It's a little bit late now.
Urban Dictionary Word of the Week.
Your word, Daniel 2, Auckland developer, is reader's block.
Reader's block.
Yep.
It sounds simple.
Mm-hmm.
It does sound simple. Maybe the... Just like the too long didn't read thing, where if you've got too much stuff in your inbox or in your reader list or whatever, that you just skip the whole lot and you just never get to it.
Excellent guess. Mr. Parsley.
Oh, I see. Am I supposed to put a definition as well?
Did I wake you up? I apologize.
No, I didn't know what the rules of the game were.
Oh, have you never listened to the show before?
No.
So, yes, Morgan gives a word. I don't know what the word means in Urban Dictionary terms. So, you have to guess. I have to guess after you. And then Morgan tells us if we're right.
We've got an excellent guess from the chat room.
Sorry, do we have to guess the word then? I'm confused.
You have to guess the meaning. The word is reader's block.
Well, the term is weird.
Right, that's two words.
Yeah, but it's a word. It's an Urban Dictionary word. Look, we've had previous words like big sandwich, and that's a word. Now, you can get all pedantic if you want, but that's no good. So we've got to guess.
No, I wasn't sure if I was supposed to guess the word from the description, reader's block. That's what I was confused about.
What does reader's block mean, is the question.
According to Urban Dictionary. And I can save you the trouble of guessing what Mark in the chat room guessed, which is that it's like a cock block, but in the library when you stop someone getting the book you want.
I think it's the... you're reading as you're falling asleep.
Yeah.
And you keep reading the same paragraph over and over and over.
Yeah.
Before you realize, oh God, I'm too tired.
That's an excellent guess.
And you put the book down.
I've figured out what my answer is. It's when you read for too long on the toilet and you get constipated.
Would that make you constipated? I would have thought that I mean, you're on the toilet. I mean, surely it's kind of, it's all gone by now.
Yeah, but I believe that reading on the toilet for long periods can be bad for your bowels.
I think it's probably bad for your anal sphincter. I imagine it's probably a good way to get, what are they called? The blood vessels when they go crazy?
Piles.
Piles. Hemorrhoids. That's the word. These are all excellent guesses. But they are, we also, Sam in the chat room also guessed that it's reading the same page or paragraph over and over again. Yeah. And that's roughly, I mean, that's correct for part of it, but it's not really correct. According to the description on Urban Dictionary, and this was a big one, 9,200 upvotes, 500 downvotes. It's related to writer's block. This is when you cannot, for the life of you, pick up a book and read it. Sure, you may be able to read a paragraph or two, or maybe even a page, but you don't retain anything of what you just read or have the attention span and or will to go on. This is common for those who have ADD, are in possession of garbage literature, or just so exhausted from having to read so many books during school or college that reading anything else, even for pleasure, has become impossible. To those who love to read, this is worse than heart disease and cancer combined. So there you go. None of you were right. I'm really glad that I did such an exciting word.
Not even close.
This week. I tried to keep it clean, though, you see. Keeping it clean, because I thought this would be a sane show, and then I drank a monster.
It wasn't sane. You've been insane all night.
Monster. Monster.
And that's
monster,
us. Is there any more news stories from the chat room?
Monster. Is there anything you want us to talk about in the chat room there? Hello.
No, we're going to wait. They're going to ask for more tech because it's a tech podcast.
It's not a tech podcast. Did you hear when I was at Webstock, someone came up to me and said, "Oh, have you heard about this new NZ tech podcast?" And I was like, "No."
Oh.
No. And they're like, "Are you worried?" And it's like, "No." Number one, I haven't heard of them. Number two, they're about to discover that there's no audience. And number three, we're not a tech podcast. And number four, if we were, we would be the best anyway. So eat a dick, NZ Tech Podcast. Suck it. I mean, welcome to hell.
I love the competition in the New Zealand podcast space.
There is no competition.
Competition
for like the 500 people that regularly listen to podcasts. Oh, wow. It's really cutthroat.
Sorry, state of affairs.
When there's no money involved at all. Yeah, we're battling. Yeah, I definitely give a shit about that. I don't even know if that's their name. It's something like NZ Tech Podcast. Who are they? I don't know. I've got no idea. This is not like putting a brave face on it. I just don't care. I don't give a shit. Good for them.
I have like 6 or 7 podcasts on my Windows phone.
Yep.
And I regularly mark those as listened because I don't have time to listen to them.
Right. Let me tell you a couple of good ones I've been listening to lately. Judge John Hodgman.
I've got him all queued up. I listened to a couple and I didn't...
Don't mark those as read. It's gentle, but it's only about 20 minutes of time.
Yeah.
So it's easy to digest. Let me tell you another one. Back to Work. This is Merlin Mann's new one. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. There's only been about 4 or 5 episodes. They're about an hour long. If you don't like Merlin Mann, stay the hell away because it's, you know, it's all Merlin Mann for now.
Let me tell you one.
All right.
Americana.
I haven't heard of Americana.
BBC podcast.
It's from the BBC, but it's about America.
It's again, quite gentle, but interesting. Sort of Englishman's take on very esoteric aspects of American society, like liberalism, and it's hard to describe. Yeah.
Oh, cool. Good.
Yeah.
Another one that I listen to is Smodcast, which is Kevin Smith and Scott Mosier's podcast.
Variable quality,
but
when it's on,
I enjoy their storytelling.
Yes, and when it's on, it's pretty side splitting.
Yep. Another one I listen to is the What the Fuck podcast by Mark Maron. He's an American comedian.
Oh.
He has a lot of comedians on as guests and, you know, various famous people. He had, now for some reason I want to say Paulie Shore, but I don't mean Paulie Shore. I mean the guy that was all, well, Bobcat Goldthwait. He had a Bobcat Goldthwait on.
Really?
And I've heard Bobcat Goldthwait on another thing recently. It was the Creative Screenwriting Podcast. And dude is a smart cookie.
Yeah, does it?
And you know that crazy voice?
Yeah.
It's not his real voice. Right. Newsflash, he's a comedian. That was a role he was playing. and he's like directed a couple of movies, and he seems pretty onto it, pretty sharp. And actually, speaking of the Creative Screenwriting Podcast, I would say, hey, you should try listening to that if you're interested in writing at all, if you're interested in making movies. But Jeff Goldsmith has just announced his farewell episode. Yeah. And so it is no more.
Someone says the guilty pleasure is, or Bitter Coda says his guilty pleasure is No Agenda. That's Dvorak and Adam Curry, isn't it?
Right. Yeah, I've never listened to that.
It's, what are the conspiracy theories?
Is it? Yeah, we've done our own conspiracy theory show, and honestly, it's about as much of conspiracy theories as I can handle.
I'm completely addicted to Planet Money as well. I love Planet Money.
I haven't listened to Planet Money. Maybe we should compile a list of these and put them on the site. Good podcasts that we listen to regularly.
Yeah.
Yeah? No? Yeah?
Yes, we should.
Because, I mean, I don't mind sending people to the, quote, competition. Because, you know, if the competition is between me and Kevin Smith, Kevin Smith won. Okay? He won 20 years ago.
And NPR maybe as well. Yeah.
He won when I was at high school, all right? Yeah, NPR won. They already won. They've got funding. They've got, you know, a model which makes them some money. Oh, yeah, and Sam, actually, winner of the phone, again, has mentioned Freakonomics, which I also listen to. It's pretty good. Something that a lot of podcasts suffer from is the long intro. Like the Smodcast, I think this week it was about only an 8-minute intro. But, I mean, they've had an over 10-minute long intro before the actual podcast
started.
Because
they're putting in all their ads and that sort of stuff.
They're putting in ads and they're, you know, talking about their other projects at great length. Mm. I mean, some of the ads on Smodcast and so on can be like 5 minutes long. I've been told that the viewers in the chat room are dropping. I don't care. we're wrapping the show up.
We're getting close to a wrap.
We're getting close to a wrap. Actually, speaking of filmmaking, I should mention that the 48 Hours short filmmaking competition is coming up in May. The shoot weekend is May 2022, and I want you on my 10, Ben, if you're down. Yeah. And actually, I would like any Auckland or nearby listeners who are interested in joining my team, you know, send an email. Just use comments at discourse.co.nz. It's not a discourse thing, though.
How big are the teams allowed to be?
As big as you like.
Really?
Yeah. But basically, no one can be paid, pretty much. If you don't know anything about 48 Hours, go to v48hours.co.nz. I think v48hours.co.nz. I'm pretty sure that's the site. And that'll tell you about it. You should do one yourself. Or if you're a real ace, particularly if you are, you know, some kind of, if you're comfortable with being on camera, join my team. Come along or talk to me. Maybe I don't want you. There is a really good chance I don't want you. But, you know, maybe I do want you.
I find that intriguing because you're given, what, a genre and a line?
It's tricky stuff. You're on the Friday, everyone gets together at 6 p.m. They get locked in a room in different cities around the country, and you all get given a genre, you get a prop, you get a character name, you get a line of dialogue, and then by 7 p.m. on Sunday, you have to write, shoot, edit, just, you know, produce a whole short film and deliver it. 1 second late, you're out. And right? So if you get in at 7:00:01, they'll play it, but you're not in the comp. And it's brilliant. My team, I was co-writer on the Auckland winning team a couple of years ago, and it is a huge battle of awesomely creative people and a whole lot of dickheads.
Right.
Who are just having fun. Good for them. Yeah. That's great. But I'm so tired of sitting through their movies. There are so many bad movies at the Heats. But yeah, it's great fun. And if you want to be on one of the teams that actually, you know, tries to make something quite good, you know, join my team. Ladies.
Last year, one of the genres was dance.
It was music and dance was the genre. So right. You could choose. Okay.
So you could have done a music video or.
I think you'd be in trouble if you did a music video. Maybe. If you did a really good music video, you might be all right.
Right.
Yeah. I know exactly what I'd do if I got music and dance. It would be fucking ace, and I'd make the Auckland finals, I'm quite sure. Yeah, no worries. Lots of those genres that people think are scary, just need to think about it a little bit more. It's not necessarily scary. Right. Not necessarily scary at all. Like when I won Auckland, I'm told by Leighton that they've just had a huge aftershock in Christchurch. Yeah. I hope everything's all right. Oh, look, we don't need to talk to them like that. We can add another caller to the show, even though we're winding down, ostensibly.
When you say huge, what does huge mean?
So, like, his window's probably exploded out, and then his Skype started ringing. What are the chances he's going to answer? He's standing in a doorway. I probably shouldn't. Oh, God. See, now if... Oh, thank God. Thank God you're there.
Hello.
So, how bad was it? Could you hear it coming?
Hold on, I'm all confused. I've got two audio streams going here.
Oh, dear. Oh, yeah, you've got to mute the one over in Safari. I'm assuming that's what he is.
That is right.
Should use Chrome.
So, yeah, when you say huge aftershock, does that mean things have moved around a lot, or?
Oh yeah, yeah. Like the whole, you know, you can hear the glass moving in the windows, and you know, it's huge aftershocks are where you're considering sort of running for the door.
God damn.
I see. So I still, I mean, I've mentioned it. I have no conception of what this is like. So you, with these, with most of the, now, so with the big one, the 6.3 one, or whatever it was, 6.1, 6.3, you didn't hear it coming. It just hit, and then bam, and everything was a fucking disaster. Yep. But normally I understand that you can kind of hear it rumbling towards you from a distance. Now, how fast is that? Is that like a jet heading towards you? Is it like a train? What is it?
I mean, the aftershocks from the original earthquake, you could sort of, most of them you could hear for maybe couple of seconds before the shaking started.
Right.
But these ones are much closer to the city, so you don't seem to get that warning noise, so they just kind of hit.
And that noise, is that like just from up and from down in the ground, or is it like from the direction of where it started?
So it's all the buildings and stuff moving from where it started, and the sound hits you before the, you know, the ground waves hit you.
Right.
Okay. So, I mean, if you're on the epicenter, you don't hear that stuff. You feel it pretty much straight away. But so you know, if you're further away from the epicenter, you hear the noise first, and then
so it's analogous to hearing wind and some big trees, and then feeling the wind, sort of thing.
Yeah, kind of, I guess.
But yeah, whole different scale, right? Obviously, but
yep.
Yeah. Jeez,
man, I kind of want to be in like a 5, just to know what it's like. I don't want to be in a 6 or a 7, but I'd like to be in a 5 just to kind of have some conception of what you're talking about, because I have no idea. I've got no idea at all.
It depends where you are as well. I mean, if you're on the epicenter and it's a really shallow 5, that can still do some damage. Like the quakes that we've had have been really shallow recently. So, you know, even though they're sort of mid 4s, you know, you still definitely feel them, and they definitely give you, you know, you have second thoughts about where you should be heading.
Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah, there's a lot of voice on Twitter at the moment about it being a big aftershock. So that sort of aftershock, they start to worry about bringing the Grand Chancellor and stuff down, surely, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I'd say, that sort of quake, there'd be, you know, more loose masonry falling down off buildings and bits and pieces, but God. Probably those taller buildings, like the Grand Chancellor, I think, is reasonably stable. I think, you know, they just had a corner of that subside from some liquefaction, which has probably solidified a bit more now. But
Okay,
it's probably the older brick buildings, which are, you know, in pieces already. They'll have bits and pieces falling off them.
All right. Well, we could speak about this at great length, and I'd really like to know what you think about John Key's 10,000 houses demolished, and I'd really like to know what you think about Brownlee stepping in and taking over, and I'd really like to know what you think about Kenring. This show has gone on a really long time. I think maybe we can talk about that a little bit more in a future episode. Actually, no, fuck it. Tell me about. Did you like the way that was going, Ben? Because you looked excited. You're like, oh, I'm going to start shutting down my computer.
No, I think, I agree.
So, Kenring. Let's start with Ken.
Oh, he's clearly a loon. And
he's clearly a loon. It's very interesting, though, seeing that the moon, distance of the moon from the Earth does appear to have some bearing, but it's really small. It's tiny.
Absolutely. And that's kind of, I guess, part of his thing is that, you know, his theories are plausible to a certain extent, but
yeah,
you know, there's a like all the reporting that's been done, all these studies have been done and shown that the influence of the moon is so minimal that, you know, it's totally unreliable and not useful at all in predicting earthquakes.
At best, there's something like a 2% increase in the likelihood. But the thing is that an earthquake happening in the first place is very, very small. So a 2% increase in a very small chance is actually really tiny itself. Mm. And it is really not a very good way of predicting an earthquake. In fact, it is not a way of predicting an earthquake. And to know that it's not a way of predicting an earthquake, all you have to do to verify that is to look at the number of days he predicts earthquakes on. And it is very large number of days, and he is very infrequently correct.
And there's a post someone posted from 2007 where he was, you know, predicting rainfall and this sort of stuff. And he was less than 50% correct.
Yeah. So if you flipped a coin, and now that what that was, you know, not specific things like in Nelson it's going to rain or in Auckland it's going to rain on this day.
Will be dry,
but it was just kind of, there's going to be more rain than average or there's going to be less rain than average. Mm. And he was less accurate than flipping a coin.
Mm.
Okay. So it wasn't even as good as random.
What does the guy do for a job?
He's a professional clown.
He sells his books.
Oh, well, that is mainly what he does, I guess. He sells his books. Mm-hmm. And he sells his books by using gullible New Zealand media who are desperate for a story and mm-hmm. their ongoing 24-hour news cycle.
Ugh.
Yeah, he's super vague. And I find the whole thing incredibly frustrating because it's very easy to convince our fragile mammalian brains that something is significant when it's not. And it takes time to look at the actual numbers. It's very easy to say, I predicted this. Here it is in writing, but it's not so easy to say, well, actually what you said was that in this 6-week period, something would happen. You didn't really say where it was going to happen. And you've said the same thing 17 times in a row and you've never been right. And this time, because, you know, just like throwing a fucking 100,000 darts, one of them is probably going to hit a target.
So yeah, why is he getting so much play around the earthquake? Was he close to saying something about these two earthquakes or something of the sort?
Yes, well, but he was wrong in many respects.
He supposedly predicted the earthquake on the 22nd, a few days before, on Twitter or something.
Yeah.
But, you know, don't want to rehash that. It's just,
He was completely wrong about how strong it would be. He said it would be 5 times as powerful as it was. He also had predicted large earthquakes on something like 70% of the first 3 months of days in the year. And it's just
ludicrous.
It's ludicrous and it's frustrating. Yeah. Anyway, John Key, also ludicrous, 10,000 houses to be demolished. Where did you get that figure from? Out of my ass. How does it make you feel, Leighton, to have some... These politicians are milking this for all they can because this earthquake is going to guarantee them the election. Probably Phil Goff had already guaranteed them the election because, you know, honestly, he's not that great. But this earthquake, just like Bob Parker, he was probably going to get his ass handed to him by Jim Anderton in the election, right?
Oh, I doubt it.
You don't think so? I think it would have been a close fight. And then the earthquake happened, Bob Parker all the way, because he got so much more media play. And so now Key is pulling figures out of his ass. How does it make you feel to hear someone say, we're going to demolish this much of the city with nothing behind it? I mean, not even of the city. That was of the suburbs, right?
Yeah. So I saw that yesterday and posted a snarky comment on Twitter about it. John Key, Bachelor of Engineering, 1983.
Yeah.
It's anyone down here who's living in this can tell that they just don't have that sort of information to actually make statements like that at this point. And it's completely ridiculous that they're talking such bullshit. You look at how Bob Parker talks about his around facts and figures and stuff like that, and he is very, very careful to make sure that the information that he's giving is accurate. And if he doesn't have the information, he doesn't have it, and he says that. And then you have, you know, central government just literally making shit up. It's just ludicrous.
What is in it for them to make shit up? Is it because they want to drive the interest rate down, or I'm trying to understand why.
The rationale, I don't get it. It's like, it's hard to fathom what they're thinking. Is it just that they want to get a standby on TV or what?
Yeah, or is it to maybe it's the old, it's not as bad as we said it was going to be thing. So,
I don't know. My perception of the whole central government management side of this has been, you know, they haven't been particularly useful in the things that they've said and that. Whereas, you know, civil defence and the local council down here have actually really done a pretty impressive job in managing this whole disaster, really. And, you know, you see central government kind of coming in and, you know, talking shit and that they don't seem to know what's going on.
Yeah.
I've been very impressed by Bob Parker. I mean, aside from, you know, the obvious TV stuff from way back when, my only recent memory of him doing anything was when he was on Chris Knox's TV show, New Artland, with Ronnie Van Hout. And I thought that actually cast him in a pretty good light as well, because he was, you know, took a joke, played along. And this time up, he seems sharp and poised.
I was born here.
Yeah. And say something.
Yeah.
I think he's very good for the city. And I could not imagine the city going through this sort of thing with Jim Anderson sort of in control. It would be, I don't know, I'd hate to see that. So I think we're lucky as a city that we actually do have him as mayor.
If Jim Anderson...
He hasn't been perfect over his time. He's made a few, well, in particular, one very high profile misjudgment, I think, of purchasing, basically bailing out a property developer down here. And that kind of, that one situation really turned a lot of people against him, I think. But I think, in general, he's very good for the city. I couldn't imagine Anderton being in control at this point.
Imagine if Anderton was in charge of the reconstruction. All of the pubs and bottle shops in town would be condemned on the first day.
Yeah.
Because that dude is like the worst wowser.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, you hear Parker talking about his vision for the city.
Yeah.
And I think he's on the right track, and he's got taste and he has got vision. So, you know, I think he's more than capable of leading the reboot of the city.
Cool, excellent. We'll talk about that again in a couple of months. I want to do an episode on urban design, urban planning, architecture and heritage. So we can talk about that a little bit more then. Thanks for coming on the show again.
Thank you.
Better wrap up because we've actually rolled. So that means it's over 2 hours.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Good God.
That's unedited, of course. Edited will be very
different.
Sorry,
listeners, we're long again.
Yeah, we're long. Suck it up. Suck it up. It's all gold. It's gold. I'm feeding you. I poop them out. Gems, diamonds, gold, rubies, precious stones. This is also
else?
Charlie Sheen stuff. The other thing, do you want to do a mailbag? Let's do a mailbag from the
mail?
Twitter. I'm going to do a mailbag from the Twitter. Is it a mailbag? I'm going to do a tweet bag.
Tweet bag?
From Tim Ross on Twitter. Brilliant episode of Discourse on the Christchurch earthquake. Very poignant interviews with Leighton Duncan and David Frampton. This is all going to seem really self-serving because it's all about episode 20. But well, I'm gonna work this for all it's worth.
Episode 20 was fantastic.
So. From Tash Mahal, Tash Lampard. This week's Discourse, affecting, inspiring, heartbreaking, incredible. Thank you to all involved. Thank you for listening. We've got one from Sam, who won a phone. She won a phone. She won a phone again. It's been hers for months, fair and square. God, I've been such a bastard about that phone. Honestly, I'm the worst person. One word for episode 20 of the Discourse NZ podcast, powerful. I strongly encourage everyone to listen. And you, dear listener, can still listen because it's on the website. It's probably in your iTunes. If you didn't listen to it, go and listen. Yeah, tell your friends.
Yeah.
Tell your friends. And there's more like that. There's more like that.
Yeah.
So many more like that because, God damn.
That was a good show.
It was a good show.
It was, yes.
Very proud of that.
Yes.
Let's wrap this mother up. As always, you can check the site for the show notes.
If you have any feedback, you know where to email us, comments@discourse.co.nz.
Or hit the talk back page on the site.
If you've got any ideas for people you want to come, want us to talk to, let us know.
Or if you want to speak about something on Discourse yourself, but no one's going to do that because it's like, it's not the New Zealand way. You should talk to me because I'm very interested. No one will do that. Actually, try that because the first person that does that is going to be on the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that could be a marketing wanker and they'll get a chance
story?
To talk about their shit.
Yeah.
And there you go. Yeah. And then I'll make you pay by cutting out your sphincter.
Send us a tweet.
Absolutely, send us a tweet.
Discourse NZ is our Twitter account.
And you know what else you can do? You can send a tweet to your mates about how great Discourse is. Maybe not this episode, maybe not episode 19. But let's be honest, there are some friggin' gems our back catalogue, which is now 21 strong.
Yeah, we're almost heading for greatest hits.
Well, I think we've gone over 24 hours of content, so you could listen all day if you want. It'd be a long day. Good. You'd sleep very well that day.
Yes.
All day.
Thank you for listening.
Yep, thanks for listening.
Thanks for live listeners.
Everyone who came on Skype, thank you so much. We'll do this again because it was actually easier this time, wasn't it, than it's been previously?
It was nice.
I think we had one little crash of the thing. So thank you for everyone who managed to get through on Skype. Thank you for everyone who was on the chat room. And thank you, beloved listeners of the podcast, once again. Tell a friend and listen again next week.
Have a good night.
You're listening to the weekly show on with God.
Right, we're using that one.